headlines, Iraqi protesters call for the expulsion of American forces as they mark the anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian and Iraqi anti-terror commanders. Iran's foreign minister warns that Israel is plotting to provoke war by planning attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. Health professionals in Lebanon warn that the country's hospitals are being overwhelmed by coronavirus cases amid a spike in coronavirus infections. Hello and welcome from Tehran. You've tuned into World News. Thanks so much for being with us. Iraqis have taken to the streets of the capital Baghdad to mark the first anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes. Protesters march in the city mourning the deaths of General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes while carrying their pictures and banners. They also chanted slogans demanding the expulsion of U.S. forces from the country and revenge for the killings. General Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes were assassinated in Baghdad in a U.S. drone strike ordered by President Donald Trump in January of last year. Iraq has planned to hold events throughout the first week of January, including a protest at the site of the attack. Syrians have marked the first anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani. The ceremony was held at the Holy Shrine of Hazrat Zainab near the capital, Damascus. Muhammad Ali brings us more.
The speakers from various sites, the representative for the office of the Imam Khamenei in Syria, he will deliver a speech. Also, Iran's ambassador to Syria is over here and will be delivering a word to Jawad Turk Abadi. In addition to that, the head of the political administration of the Syrian Arab Army is also here to deliver a word, as well as a representative for the Lebanese resistance movement, Hezbollah, particularly here is speaking about Akram Diab, a member of the political administration or council of Hezbollah, as well as, of course, a member of the political bureau of the popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a general command. So there are representatives for Palestine, Syria, Iran, and Lebanon, all the resistance front, perhaps, representatives for all of that front are over here to mark this anniversary.
The Afghanistan Middle East Research and Strategic Center has launched a commemoration ceremony in Kabul for two resistance leaders, Afghanistan's national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud, and Iran's top commander, Qasem Soleimani.
These people have gathered here in Kabul to pay respect to the bravery and the leading role of two significant figures against invading forces and foreign-backed terrorists, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and our national hero Ahmad Shah Massoud were close friends and comrades in the region. Their sacrifices have not been fully highlighted yet, so we need to know them more than ever.
Given the fact that Afghanistan has been repeatedly invaded by some superpowers, mainly over the past two centuries, resistance is considered a familiar concept among the nation. Afghans have had some top resistance leaders like Ahmad Shah Massoud, a national hero who became the victim of a terrorist attack back in 2001. His characteristics are very much similar to that of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in the eyes of Afghans.
The U.S. expected to remove the name of Qasem Soleimani from the minds of resisting nations by assassinating him. But contrary to those expectations, he became a popular hero, not only for Iranians, but also for all resistance nations across the world, just like Massoud.
Afghans and Iranians share many commonalities in terms of history, culture, religion, and security. Many people here in Afghanistan believe that one of the major similarities between these two nations is their resisting spirit against the invaders. This event in Afghanistan marks the memories of two well-known resistance leaders, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero Ahmad Shah Massoud. This comes as Afghans themselves are suffering from terrorism and are seeking to follow the path of these two heroes. Syed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Well, in General Qasem Soleimani's hometown of Kerman, people have taken to the streets to commemorate the anti-terror icon. Yusuf Jalali brings us more from Kerman.
A year has passed since millions of Iranians attended the funeral service of slain Iranian military figure General Soleimani. Now, on the first anniversary of his assassination by the U.S., his fellow citizens in Kerman have once again come to his burial place to pay respect to him. Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He was killed in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from U.S. President Donald Trump.
We strongly demand that the Islamic Republic take harsh revenge. This is the demand made by all Iranians who owe their security to the efforts of General Soleimani in the fight against the terrorists.
General Soleimani is well known as the nemesis of the terrorists in the region. He played a key role in dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017 and helped liberate major areas in Syria from the terror group. That's what makes everyone question the U.S.'s drive behind his assassination.
General Soleimani brought the U.S. to its knees in the region. The U.S. sought to trigger chaos in our region by creating Daesh, but General Soleimani helped unite the people of the region and foiled Washington's attempt by defeating Daesh.
Following Soleimani's assassination, massive crowds of people in Iraq took part in his funeral service to pay respect to him. This was followed by million-strong processions in Iran, the last of which was held in his hometown before he was laid to rest. Tehran regards General Soleimani as the architect of U.S.'s defeat in the region. His role in dislodging Daesh terrorists won him huge support and popularity, not only among Iranians, but among the people of Syria and Iraq, who say his assassination created a united front against the U.S. Yusuf Jalali, Kerman.
Well, the spokesman for Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says the U.S. and Israeli forces have remained on high alert since the assassination of General Soleimani.
An initial slap in the face of the enemy was Iran's missile strikes against the U.S.'s Ain al-Assad base in Iraq before General Soleimani was laid to rest. Ever since the operation, American and Israeli terrorist forces have remained on full alert. Military personnel know that the state of being on high alert means a slap in the face of the U.S.
The IRGC spokesman said Iran will pursue a U.S. assassination of Soleimani and Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes through legal channels in Iran and Iraq. Ramazan Sharif stressed that Iran reserves the right to take military revenge against the architects of the assassination and those who committed the crime. Well, the Iranian foreign minister says new intelligence from Iraq indicate that Israeli agent provocateurs are plotting against American attacks against Americans. Now, in a tweet, Mohammad Javad Zarif warned U.S. President Donald Trump to be careful of the trap. He warned Trump that any fireworks will backfire badly, particularly on the scheming U.S. allies. The warning by the top Iranian diplomat came after Trump threatened Iran in the event of a fatal attack on Americans in Iraq. Trump made the threat after the U.S. embassy in Baghdad was hit by a rocket attack on December the 21st. The U.S. blamed the attack on Iran. However, Tehran dismissed the allegation, condemning any attack against diplomatic sites. Now, the top commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has vowed harsh retaliation against any aggression targeting the country.
We will respond to any move by the enemy with a harder and reciprocally more resolute blow. This has been proven time and time again. We say the same thing today. We will not spare the enemy and will not leave it alone.
General Salami made the remarks during a visit to the southern Iranian island of Abu Musa. He was there to survey the island's military unit systems and capabilities. Salami said the IRGC's naval force has made remarkable achievements in recent years, including in underwater warfare. He said other achievements include smart naval mines and bombs released by manned and unmanned aerial vehicles on enemy targets deep in the sea. Iran says it has to enhance its military capabilities for self-defense in the face of what it calls U.S. provocations in the region. The number of daily coronavirus fatalities in Iran continues to decline more than a month after restrictions were tightened across the country. The health ministry says new deaths were 101 during the past 24 hours. Now that's the lowest daily fatality toll since September the 1st. The figure brings Iran's total COVID deaths to more than 55,400. According to the health ministry, new infections on Saturday rose by more than 6,000. Over 1.2 million people across Iran have so far contracted the virus. The government tightened restrictions on November the 21st to control the spread of the disease. Last week, it extended the curbs to lower-risk cities to sustain the declining trend in daily cases and deaths. Meanwhile, in Lebanon, doctors say hospitals are filling up as coronavirus cases surge. Medics have called the situation catastrophic. They say all 50 private hospitals across Lebanon receiving COVID patients are almost full. According to the doctors, the occupancy rate of intensive care units has increased by 10% over the past 3 weeks. So far, Lebanon has recorded nearly 184,000 infections and almost 1,500 deaths from coronavirus. Ahead of the December holidays, the government relaxed tight restrictions it had imposed a month earlier. Well, the move drew criticism from health professionals. Daily COVID cases have hit a record in the United Arab Emirates for a fourth day in a row. The UAE on Saturday registered more than 1,900 new infections in 24 hours. The figure brings the country's overall cases to over 211,600. Total COVID deaths in the UAE are nearly 680. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia reported nearly 140 new cases on January the 1st. That took the kingdom's total infections to nearly 363,000. Saudi Arabia is the hardest hit country by the pandemic among the six member Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. Both the UAE and Saudi Arabia have begun coronavirus vaccination programs. A U.S. federal judge has rejected a lawsuit from a Republican congressman that sought to allow Vice President Mike Pence to reject the results of the presidential election. The judge ruled that the case put forward by Texas Representative Louie Gohmert lacked legal standing. It was the latest long-shot attempt by Republican allies of President Donald Trump to overturn the result of the November the 3rd vote. The lawsuit would have allowed Pence to reject Electoral College votes for Joe Biden when Congress meets on January the 6th to certify his victory. Trump has refused to concede defeat and has repeatedly claimed the election was rigged. He and his allies have lost dozens of court efforts seeking to reverse the election results. A car bomb blast has rocked the vegetable market in Syria's northeastern town of Ras Al Ain. Local media reported casualties without specifying. A London-based war monitor says five people were killed, at least three of them civilians. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said that four others were wounded also. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the blast in Ras Al Ain. Such bombings, however, are common on the Syrian border town, in the Syrian border town that's held by Turkish forces. An artillery attack by Saudi-led coalition forces has killed five women in western Yemen. The attack targeted a wedding party in the port city of Hodeidah on Friday night. Local officials said seven people, including children, were also wounded. The incident marks the Saudi-led coalition's first deadly attack on Yemen in the new year. Riyadh and its allies waged a war on the country nearly 6 years ago. So far, tens of thousands of Yemenis, mainly civilians, have been killed. Millions have been displaced. The year 2020 was filled with exceptionally significant incidents, from massive protests to war and destruction. Many people believe the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic could put a stop to these events, but it didn't. Let's take a look at some of the more noticeable incidents during the past 12 months.
Donald Trump became the third U.S. president who faced an impeachment trial. Trump was accused of abuse of power for seeking help from the Ukrainian government in order to help himself get re-elected in the November presidential election. He was alleged to have held back millions of dollars of military aid to Ukraine and dangled a proposed White House meeting with the Ukrainian president, both as bargaining chips. In exchange, reports said the U.S. president wanted Ukraine to publicly announce an investigation into Joe Biden in order to challenge him in the election. Trump denied all accusations. The impeachment trial concluded with Trump's acquittal on February the 5th. U.S. President Donald Trump unveiled his Middle East plan in a White House press conference alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What Trump presented gave Israel what it had sought over decades of corruption, while offering the Palestinians the possibility of a state with limited sovereignty. The plan discarded the long-time goal of granting the Palestinians a full-fledged state. While Trump called it a win-win for both sides, Palestinian leaders immediately rejected it. The global stock market crash, also known as the coronavirus crash, was a major global shock that shook the world. It was the fastest fall in financial history and the most devastating one since the Wall Street crash of 1929. It also signaled the beginning of the COVID-19 recession. A black man was brutally killed after being arrested by a white police officer outside a shop in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Footage of George Floyd's arrest shows police officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on the victim's neck while he was pinned to the floor. Floyd said more than 20 times he could not breathe as he was restrained by the officer.
Please! Please, I can't breathe!
The killing of Floyd sparked yet another wave of nationwide anti-racism protests across the United States. To crack down on protesters, the government used different methods ranging from deploying the National Guard to threatening the use of armed forces against the people. The 59th quadrennial presidential election in the United States was held between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. The vote saw a record number of ballots cast early using the postal voting system due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. As a result of the large number of mail-in ballots, some swing states saw delays in vote counting and reporting. This led to major news outlets delaying their projection of Biden as the winner until November the 7th, 4 days after the election. Trump rejected the result and called the election rigged. His campaign and allies continued to engage in numerous attempts to overturn the results by filing dozens of legal challenges in several states. Most of the legal suits were dropped or dismissed by various courts.
And with that, that brings us to the end of this World News Edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Former economics professor Mohammad Fahad Al-Ghahtani becomes latest political detainee to challenge conditions at notorious Saudi regime facility. Alarms have consistently been raised about conditions at the facility. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by the staff of Middle East Eye website. This article is published under the heading Saudi Rights Activist Launches Hunger Strike Over Conditions at Al-Hir Prison. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. Jailed Saudi human rights activist Mohammed Fahad Al-Ghadani has launched a hunger strike in protest against conditions at the notorious Al-Hir prison, his wife confirmed on Monday, December 28. My husband entered the ninth day of a strike due to the stress on him by the Al-Hir Correctional Department, Maha Al-Ghadani tweeted recently. She said the action was in protest at being denied the most basic rights, adding that her husband held Muhammad bin Ali Al-Asmari, Director General of Prisons in Saudi Arabia, fully responsible for threatening his health and life. Ghadani is the co-founder of the Saudi Civil and Political Rights Association, ACPRA, which was launched in 2009 to report human rights violations in the kingdom. He was formerly an economics professor at the Institute of Diplomatic Affairs in the Saudi regime foreign ministry. In June 2012, Ghadani was arrested as part of a wide crackdown on rights advocates. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison in March 2013 for several charges related to human rights work, including using the internet to disseminate opinions, petitions, and statements against the government. He was also given a 10-year travel ban to take effect upon his release. His friend and fellow co-founder of ACPRA, Abdullah Al-Hamid, a prominent thinker, professor, and poet, was sentenced to 11 years in Al-Hir prison during the same trial. Ghadani, Hamid, and Walid Abu Al-Khair, another jailed Saudi activist, received the prestigious Right Livelihood Award in 2018 for their pursuit for reforms in a country where the royal family maintains a tightly controlled monopoly of power. Hamid died in April after suffering a stroke and falling into a coma. His death was described by activists as having been a result of deliberate medical neglect from the Saudi regime prison authorities. Shortly after Hamid's death, three Saudi journalists and activists were detained for expressing their condolences on social media. Al-Hir Prison, a 19 million square foot maximum security facility, is located just south of the capital, Riyadh. It holds about 5,000 prisoners, including scores of political detainees. Alarms have consistently been raised about conditions at the facility. Prominent women's rights activist Lujain Al-Haflul, who was sentenced to 5 years and 8 months in prison on December 28th this year, has reportedly been subjected to torture in the regime's facility since being taken there in 2018. Aflul has been censored from commenting on conditions inside the prison during phone calls to family members. She can't share anything about the negative conditions or issues inside the prison. Otherwise, the authorities cut the call, her brother Walid Al-Haflul told The Guardian. We'll be right back. popular Saudi cleric Salman Alode, who is also being held in Al-Hir, has routinely been denied medical treatment, according to his son. Even a Saudi princess is among those who have alleged that her life is under threat at the prison. Princess Basma bin Saud, the cousin of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and niece of King Salman, said her condition at the prison was in a critical state earlier this year. She pleaded with her uncle and cousin to find justice in their hearts and release their relative held arbitrarily in the worst conditions possible. It is not known why Princess Basma, the daughter of former King Saud bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, is being detained.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English. This is Viewpoints. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yeah. And Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, the world has changed, and it's not going to change back again after the shahadat of General Qasim Soleimani. And that's what we're going to be discussing today, particularly about the international coverage of the funeral. And I'd like to take Sayyid Mehdi's viewpoint into consideration as we begin the discussion. So what are your immediate reactions to the kind of the international coverage of the funeral?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I think there's two aspects here to the international coverage, right? One is the international assuming you're talking about media coverage.
Right, yeah.
The international media coverage as regards to the West and the censorship and, of course, the misinformation and misguidance which was being done and is still being done on a very large scale is one side of the story. But the other side of the story is the international media coverage that was done by sources who are not subjugated or who are not the servants of the Western agenda. So, you know, and I guess in the eastern part of the world, you saw that there was a lot of media coverage on this assassination, on this martyrdom of Haj Qasim Soleimani. What was interesting was that the mourning that was conducted for Shahid Qasim Soleimani was really something that was unseen for a long time.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that.
I think that the closest thing that would come would be the funeral of Imam Khomeini.
Right, I've seen people making that comparison between this and the funeral of Imam Khomeini. Am I mistaken to say that that was the biggest funeral in history?
If you look at the history and history of Iran, especially. Imam Khomeini's funeral was so big and so huge and so populated that nobody could even come close to that sort of a funeral after Imam Khomeini passed away. The world, and especially Iran, has seen, after all these years, after like 30-plus years, the biggest funeral after that of Imam Khomeini's, and that was General Qasem Soleimani, who was not the Wali of Faqih, of course. Who, he was not, you know, somebody who went to the Hawza, for instance, and was a very senior Islamic scholar. He was just a general, right? But there was something special about him that it pulled the hearts towards the streets, and people came out mourning and expressing their anger, more importantly, against America.
Yeah, I mean, considering that the population of Iran has pretty much doubled since the time of Imam Khomeini, people are even saying that this funeral, in terms of numbers, was even bigger.
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't refute that. Mm-hmm. I don't have the statistics, but I would say that that's pretty precise. Streets were filled, even like huge roads, like five lanes, where normally the cars would drive in parallel. They were packed, jam-packed for kilometers. And this is not just one city.
Iran. Video is that aerial view. I think it's off Tehran, where you can see these people, and they do look like ants. And it just goes on and on and on. Sayyid Mahdi actually mentioned that it's like Arba'in. Exactly. All over again. Exactly. It was fascinating.
Yeah, you could feel it. You know, it was people. They wanted to make sure that they expressed themselves. That this heinous crime that America had committed, and the sacrifices of a person like General Qasem Soleimani, a person of his stature, a person of his spirituality, a person of his military skills, a person who is a strategic. And at the same time, a very wise person who knows when to make a move, right? He was not just all out in the battlefield, you know, just shooting and, you know, fighting. Mm. No, he knew when to make a move. You know, a person of his stature and experience, people wanted to make sure that they give and send out a very clear message to the entire world. Uh-huh. Let it be the world governments or, you know, just the average people. That he was loved in Iran. He was loved not just in Iran, even beyond Iran's borders, and we're going to talk further about it, how, you know, other countries and cities played into it.
Another interesting thing, though, what you find here is you see, again, you know, as Sheikh Ali was saying, that millions really mourned for this individual, for this great personality of Islam. And, you know, for example, we saw specifically in the city of Qom, we saw that it wasn't just Iranians who came out to mourn him, but it was people from all nations. I mean, you saw people from Pakistan, Afghanistan, you saw Iraqis, right, from Bangladesh. I mean, you name it.
Chinese were there.
Chinese people were there. Westerners were there.
So black brothers, white brothers.
It was very amazing to witness this.
Myself.
This international mourning for an individual. And to be honest with you, I think that perhaps in Qasem Soleimani's own mind, he probably didn't imagine that this international level of humanity will come to mourn him.
Subhanallah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, if I can just chime in, you know, people like him, they're not really concerned.
They're not. Yeah.
To them, it doesn't matter because they're so godly people. Their focus is God only.
Right.
And this is where we have traditions, Islamic traditions, which say that if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah plants your love in the hearts of people. And this is exactly what we witnessed.
Right.
You know, these people didn't even know his language, many of them.
Yeah.
If you look at other countries, how they protested, candlelight vigils. I know it happened in Canada. It happened in UK. Multiple cities of U.S. and Australia, Germany. It was a very weird phenomena, and I think we never expected it.
No, it was very surreal, right?
When we went
to see this, it was really surreal because it was men, there was women, there was children, there was old people. I mean, it was amazing. People brought their... I personally saw a family who had brought a newborn. Right? I mean, the kid must have not... It was a baby, not more than 6 months old, right?
Yeah.
They brought them, and they came in the millions. And not just the people. If you look, all political factions came from all across the political scenario. Again, various nations. And even when you look at, for example, international personalities that gave their condolences, for example, you have Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, of Hezbollah in Lebanon. Haji Qasem Soleimani, he was very close to Sayyid Nasrullah. And you can see in some of the speeches of Sayyid Nasrullah that he was really hurt. You know, he was saddened by this. Just as the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, if you're able to access the video of him leading the funeral rites, the prayer of Qasem Soleimani, you'll see that he's crying, right? It was amazing. You saw that all these people cried for this great personality.
Okay, now we know that it was definitely surreal, and I like that word because I remember it was feeling like a dream. It was strange. It was like, whoa, is this really happening? Could there possibly be this many people? When I was upset on the morning that I found out, and you go out into the streets and you see people crying on the streets in groups.
And they're wearing black.
And they're wearing black, and, you know, they weren't...
It's very symbolic in Iran, right? I mean, when you wear black, it's like...
Okay, so now, the enemy, on the other hand, because we're talking about the coverage, right, the international coverage, would you say, in your opinion, that considering the magnitude of this event as it occurred, did the mainstream media give it due justice or not?
Well, that's for sure, and it's not just us here who are realizing that. I'm in touch with many activists from throughout the world, from the East and from the West. The mainstream media, of course, they did a huge injustice by misrepresenting who General Qasem Soleimani was. They had a very strict agenda of making sure that they bring a bad name and bad coverage to Iran and the Islamic Revolution and the system of Wilayatul Faqih. And, you know, they're the enemies, so what do you expect? At the same time, one, at least in the past, used to have hope when it came to social media. That, okay, it had some sort of a liberty where you can go to, like, maybe an extra step where you can get the truth and justice and the word of haq and truth out there. But unfortunately, this particular event, I've noticed very closely that the social media even, they made sure that they suppress any voice of support of General Qasem Soleimani, any voice of support for Iran, for the Islamic resistance, or even the resistance forces and the factions around the globe.
Right.
So they went as far as that if you were to post a picture of Qasem Soleimani, this great martyr, this shaheed, who actually fought ISIS, who fought terrorism in this region, they would delete your profile. This is how far they went.
So much
for freedom of speech and expression, right?
Right.
You're not allowed to express your own sentiments.
Mint Press News actually reported that Silicon Valley giant Facebook announced that it would be deleting all positive posts about assassinated Iranian general.
Up until that point, they were unofficially doing that. You know, they were just doing it from their back room. But then it got to a level that it just got out of control.
Yeah.
The people, the general masses, average social media users, and if you are on social media, you would say, like, people have changed their display pictures on their WhatsApp.
Yeah.
People who are not even Iranians.
If you haven't done it, you should do it.
Right? Now, this all of it was actually getting out of control, so it pushed them so far back that they had to come out clean, and they said, okay, we're going to put the foot down because social media is what we own. We're going to make sure that anybody who puts out... So it's basically a threat to the general masses.
Right.
That if you put a picture of General Qasem Soleimani, even if it's a picture where he's smiling, we're not talking about guns and we're not talking about all that.
Yeah.
They said that we're going to delete it. So they are actually threatening people. And they ended up deleting the profiles.
I mean,
and countless profiles, not just people who are Shias or Sunnis or Muslims, even the non-Muslims who were voicing their support for General Qasem Soleimani and against America, the injustice that America has done, the oppression that it is continuing to do, they're deleting their profiles.
I think what an interesting point here, for example, is that for people who believe that the media is free and open in the West, I think this is a very clear signal to everyone that without a doubt, there is no liberty of speech in the West. There is no free media in the West. Even, you know, as Sheikh Ali said, that we thought that social media platforms would give you an amount of freedom. By these recent actions, we have seen, no, that truly even these social media platforms and the news is in the control of certain factions who don't want the truth to come out for the people.
Yeah, I mean, we also, yeah, I just wanted to point out that, let's take this in a positive spin, these guys are actually threatened by
well,
us.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It used to be like that, as Sayyid Matthew mentioned, you know, there was a certain level of extended freedom, you know, for people to express their views, and that was the primary philosophy behind social media, mm-hmm. that you
and
contribute.
Popularity.
You get to say your... You have a say. You get to express yourself, right?
YouTube.
However you want to, right? Mm. But they're actually tightening it up. And you know what the reason is? The reason is they have lost the battle.
Right.
They thought that they're going to be able to give this perceived freedom to the people. Huh. And as a result of this, people are going to be like, oh, wow, West is so open about everything. Well, guess what? People started to speak their mind, and now all of these social media platforms, the mainstream ones owned by CIA or, you know, the Western Zionist media empire, they're threatened now that they can't face this flood of people online. They can't fight back. So what do? They just, you know, silence them by deleting their profiles and pages.
Right. And yet, despite all of this, I'd just like to point out, they have not been able to suppress the spirit of the people.
Right, and this is where, if you notice, you know, throughout the world right now, after the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, the profile pictures tell you, everybody is saying, we are Soleimani, I am Soleimani, I am able to and ready to retaliate against America's oppression, the Zionist regime, the Wahhabi Takfiri agenda in the region. You know, people are expressing these views through their just profile pictures. You don't speak words. You go look at their status even on WhatsApp, right, or other social media platform. You would get this very loud and clear message that we are Soleimani. And when it comes to, you know, a replacement for General Qasem Soleimani, do you know what Allah had saved in his treasures to replace him? It's General Kaani. General Kaani is who replaced General Qasem Soleimani. Although it's a huge blow that we took, and the camp of resistance has taken, and especially the leader of the Muslim Ummah with the loss of General Qasem Soleimani. But General Kaani, he is a mastermind. He was behind, you know, chalking out this whole plan to destroy ISIS.
And I'd love to talk about that more, and I'm really excited. I want to know more about General Kaani because I don't know much about him. I don't even know if I pronounce his name right. Kaani. But that's all we have time for today. We hope that you enjoyed and benefited from today's show, inshallah. If you have any questions or queries or you want to see any of our other content, you can visit pasttoday.com. And we'll see you next time, inshallah, from myself, Sayyid Mahdi, and from Sheikh Ali. We bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Experts with the World Health Organization are warning that the next pandemic may be more severe if the international community does not learn from the ongoing coronavirus crisis and prepare accordingly. This pandemic has been very severe. It has affected every corner of this planet, but this is not necessarily the big one. Dr. Mike Ryan, head of the WHO Emergencies Program, told the press during a year-end briefing recently. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Jake Johnson Ryder. This article is published under the heading Calling COVID-19 Crisis a Wake-Up Call. WHO experts warn next pandemic could be even worse. Here's the details of this article. The COVID-19 pandemic has officially infected more than 80 million people and killed at least 1.7 million across the globe, and the daily death toll remains high in the U.S. and other major nations. But even in the face of such staggering figures, experts with the World Health Organization are warning that the next pandemic may be more severe if the international community does not learn from the ongoing coronavirus crisis and prepare accordingly. This pandemic has been very severe. It has affected every corner of this planet, but this is not necessarily the big one. Dr. Mark Ryan, head of WHO Emergencies Program, told the press during a year-end briefing recently. This is a wake-up call. We are learning now how to do things better. Science, logistics, training, and governance. How to communicate better. But the planet is fragile. We live in an increasingly complex global society, Ryan added. These threats will continue. If there is one thing we need to take from this pandemic, with all of the tragedy and loss, is we need to get our act together. We need to honor those we've lost by getting better at what we do every day. Ryan's remarks came as nations across the globe continued rolling out and administering COVID-19 vaccines in massive inoculation campaigns that have sparked fears of vaccine apartheid as rich countries swallow up much of the existing supply of doses. According to an analysis released earlier this month by the People's Vaccine Alliance, that is PVA, 90% of the populations of nearly 74 countries will likely not be vaccinated in 2021 due to vaccine hoarding by wealthy nations. During the briefing, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom called the development of safe and effective vaccines an incredible scientific achievement, but added that the United Nations agency will not rest until those in need everywhere have access to the new vaccines and are protected. Even as effective vaccines begin to be put to use, Professor David Heyman, chair of the WHO's Strategic and Technical Advisory Group for Infectious Hazards, cautioned recently that COVID-19 could become endemic and continue to mutate as it reproduces in human cells, especially in areas of more intense admission. At least one new COVID-19 variant that happens to be more transmissible, but not necessarily more deadly, was recently detected in the United Kingdom and has since been found in more than a dozen other nations. Experts say the existing vaccines should be effective against the new variant. While the variant has not officially been detected in the US, Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Brett Durerar said recently that the strain is likely present in the country, which has the highest COVID-19 death toll in the world. Heyman predicted that the likely scenario is the virus will become another endemic virus that will remain somewhat of a threat, but a very low-level threat in the context of an effective global vaccination program. Fortunately, Heyman added, we have tools to save lives, and these, in combination with good public health, will permit us to learn to live with COVID-19.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is part of a speech of Ayatollah Khamenei delivered on January 8, 2020, in a meeting with the people of the city of Qom. The meeting was held on the anniversary of an uprising led by the people of the city of Qom on January 9, 1978.
Today, Hezbollah serves as both the hands and the eyes of Lebanon. And our dear martyr, Shahid Soleimani, played a brilliant and prominent role in this regard. He enjoyed acumen and courage. He was a brave mujahid and a diligent brother. Nations are thankfully awake. Today, nations are awake. But the role of our dear martyr and his local comrades was exemplary. An example of his comrades is Shahid Abu Mahdi, may God bestow paradise on him. He was an enlightened, pious, and brave man. When one looked at him, his face was an embodiment of this sentence, My face is lit up with your light. Al-Kafi, Volume 4, page 562. Abu Mahdi was like that. He had a bright, spiritual, and godly face. Shahid Soleimani managed to accomplish these great feats with such pious, valorous, and enlightened men. These points were about our martyr. Of course, one can say many more things about this dear martyr of ours, but this much is enough for the moment.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want to be. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
Another chapter about Shahid Soleimani is the blessings ensuing his great martyrdom. Whenever that dear martyr delivered a report, be that a verbal or a written report about the tasks that he had carried out, I would praise him both verbally and deep in my heart. But today, I bow down in respect to what he started and brought about for the country and for the whole region. A great feat was accomplished. He caused a movement. His spirituality and his martyrdom made him so prominent and outstanding. See how the Iranians and the Iraqis bid farewell to him. Notice how the people in Karlamain, in Baghdad, in Najaf, and in Karbala behaved in bidding farewell to that body torn to pieces. I thank his pure soul from the bottom of my heart.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.